It was the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in the year 1918 when the world celebrated as a treaty was signed ending what was to be the war to end all wars, the World War I. I repeat, it was the 11th hour of the 11th day in the 11th month in 1918 when the world celebrated as a treaty was signed ending what was to be the war to end all wars, the World War I. We are today in the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year 2018, which is 100 years later. It all happened 100 years ago, 100 years ago, that they made a treaty of having a war to end all wars. It didn't happen. Because we know that there was another world war, World War II. Today, being the 11th day of the 11th month, 11th November is called the Veterans Day. It's not the second Monday of November, but it is actually a fixed day, which is the 11th day of the 11th month. And in the 11th hour, which is typically the hour that we are in right now, it's a remembrance of those who sacrificed their lives for the country and served the country. And many families keep remembering, including there are companies also that remember the Veterans Day because once they are out of their military age that they are in, they are recruited into secular jobs, and there are veteran affairs also that make sure that these people are, and there are some who don't have jobs, and they'll be standing at the signal lights begging. The veterans, the so-called veterans. We, as children of the living God, those who are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, are in the Lord's army. There is no retirement for it. All through our life, we are in the Lord's army. You don't need to be a veteran for it. You are a soldier forever. Soldier of Lord Jesus Christ, a good soldier of Lord Jesus Christ. Even yesterday, during our fasting and prayer, as a conclusion of the Bible study on the book of Ephesians, in the chapter 6, we meditated upon the spiritual warfare. And we all need to be part of that, is expected to be. There is no choice other than being able to stand forth in the spiritual warfare that we are in. So on this day, when the whole country, at least the United States, remembers the Veterans Day, there is something that you and I need to be able to learn from the scriptures. As we continue our series on the fall series, there are many things that we have been learning about the fall series. And we kind of gone through the fallen angel, and then we've been in the book of Genesis for the past 3 weeks, knowing about the fall of man, the fallen countenance, and the rainfall as well. And even after the rainfall, when a fresh generation began through the family of Noah, sin did prevail upon man in such a manner that man committed sin. Over and over again, and even during the worship exhortation, we were reminded of the theme that is across the entire scriptures, the theme of redemption. And we have a God who redeems us from our sinful nature. And later on, the people of Israel were in the bondage in the land of Egypt, and they were redeemed from the land of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And they passed through the Jordan River to two people that spied the land, and the next generation, again a fresh generation in other sense, entered into the promised land. They just crossed the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua. And we'll pick up the story from there, from Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 5, as it is projected. Let us all read this together, and I hope we have people who have their microphones for the Telugu and Tamil languages today. The other ones will skip. Joshua chapter 6, verse 5, altogether, please. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. You can note down the two words. Then the wall of the city will fall down. I was thinking later on that I wish there was a blank for the line above also, that all the people, the wall of the city will fall down. All fall down. All were shouting. The wall fell down. Okay, that is how this story is. And this may be a familiar story. There are many spiritual lessons that we can learn. Any series that we take, it looks like we are stopping at the book of Joshua, because there are many, many truths that we can learn. How many ever times we study this particular book of Joshua, we cannot say that we are done with it. And scriptures are so wonderful to remind us over and over again. Let's read the same verse, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 5, in Telugu language.
Manaka yabelu kommulato varu dhvani cheyichundaga meeru bhurala dhvani vinunappudu జనులందరూ ఆర్భాటముగా కేకలు వేయవలను. అప్పుడు ఆ పట్టణ ప్రాకారము కూలును, కనుక జనులు తమ ఎదుటికి చక్కగా ఎక్కుదురు.
Let's read this in Tamil language, please.
నాల్ నెడుந்தோனி இடும்போதும் நீங்கள் எக்கால சத்தத்தை கேட்கும்போதும் ஜனங்கள் எல்லோரும் மகா ஆரவாரத்தோடே ஆர்ப்பரிக்க கடவர்கள். அப்பொழுது பட்டணத்தின் அலங்கம் இடிந்து விழும். உடனே ஜனங்கள் அவரவர் தங்களுக்கு நேராக ஏற கடவர்கள் என்றார்.
Thank you, sister. It was difficult for me to put the English language also, otherwise it will cross the slide. So I just preferred it to be put only in Tamil so that it can be read through. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us through your living word, Lord. We have come with different situations that are going on in our lives, different mindsets, different unknowns that are ahead of us, different challenges that are ahead of us. We ask you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ that you may speak to us through your living word. Not my words, but let your words come through me in such a manner, Lord, that it may have a transforming effect in each of our lives. So we ask all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a well-known story. Children in the Sunday schools, they keep learning this particular story. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, and the walls kept tumbling down. And we had a story also, I think, last year, not this year, but last year, we had a mighty fortress and the walls were put. We had walls that were separating the fellowship area with the sanctuary as well. And people were saying, maybe we should go around and maybe one day they will fall down. Somehow they fell down. They are not, that wall is not there anymore. But this particular wall that we are talking is one of the old Testament times. This particular city was a very fortified city. You know what a fortified city is? It talks about the forts that circle around the city. It's well protected. With the technology that they had at that time, with the understanding and the wisdom that they had created a wall in such a manner that nobody could penetrate through it. And that is how they protected the city of Jericho. This children of Israel crossed the Jordan. We went through the Jordan crossing series. If you missed them, you could listen to it online as well. One of the stories was they crossed the Jordan. They crossed the Jordan River to enter into the promised land. And that the first city that they had to capture was the city of Jericho. In this present day world, we keep hearing about a lot of walls. Even in the technology world, people use the word firewall. It's really not a physical wall, but it is a firewall to protect transactions that happen back and forth. There will be some ports that are opened sometimes. And even there are some wonders that are there, and this is one of them. If you see this picture, this is the Great Wall of China. It's a picture, I don't know how many of us have been there, but it is something that really projects the security of the city, the protection of the city. And today we are going to meditate upon this particular story from the book of Joshua chapter 6. As we learn through certain important elements of the fall of wall, and this wall represents certain aspects in our individual lives, in our personal lives, family lives, and our church lives as well. The wall in this particular context signifies certain obstacles or challenges that are ahead of us. And that is what I want us to be able to focus upon as we understand this historical story that was mentioned. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Please read in any other language. Verse 1. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1.
వెలుపలికి పోకుండను లోపలికి రాకుండను ఎరికో పట్టణ ద్వారము గట్టిగా మూసివేయబడింది.
ఇట్ వాస్ టైట్లీ షట్. ద వాల్ వాస్ అ పవర్ఫుల్ వాల్. ద జెరికో యాజ్ అ సిటీ వాస్ టైట్లీ షట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద సన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇజ్రాయెల్. దే న్యూ దట్ దిస్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు కమ్. దే న్యూ దట్ దేర్ సంథింగ్ దట్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు హ్యాపన్ దట్ దే క్రాస్ ద జార్డన్ రివర్ బికాస్ earlier, if you read some stories, the story when the two spies were sent by Joshua in order to be able to spy the land, and how Rahab protects them and sends them back safely, they knew. Rahab also said, "We heard of how God enabled you to come out of the land of Egypt. And when you come here, remember me and my family." That's how Rahab speaks in the second chapter of Joshua. So these people in Jericho were aware. They were aware what was going on. And this particular verse talks about the fact that Jericho was tightly shut. Tightly shut. So that no one went out, no one came in. Completely shut down. The doors were fully closed. The walls were so powerful enough. And that is how the situation was. If we go a few verses above chapter 6 and verse 1. I want us to pick up from verse 13. Listen to this carefully. And it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. So probably once they crossed the Jordan River, Joshua was trying to survey the area that needs to be captured because it was a promised land. Just because it was promised, that does it mean that they were able to just directly go and take it? No. Be it the story of Nehemiah, where in the night he went and surveyed the place. Or be it Joshua, as a leader, the one who was given the responsibility, he was going about. He was going about, and then he was by Jericho, he lifted up. He was looking at the big obstacle or big challenge that was ahead of him. And he was surveying what's going on. And suddenly we notice in verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. It was not inside. It was not tucked into the sheath of the belt. The sword was drawn out. A man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He had a basic question. He saw a man holding a sword in his hand. He wasn't sure who this man was. And he said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" That is a question that he asked. I don't know if you are aware of this particular small incident that has happened before the chapter 6. Are you for us or are you against us? Asking a question. Whenever he saw a stranger, he was not sure. He wanted to make sure who he was. Verse 4, he said, "No." What is this no? Is that an answer to a question? Is it a yes or no question? Are you for us? Are you against us? Simple question. No. What does it mean? There are different interpretations to this particular word. The word itself. In some of the translations, they use the word neither. Are you for us? Are you against us? No means neither. In other words, what was he telling? Instead, he was saying, "I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord, or a commander of the Lord's army. I have come as a commander of the army of the Lord." That was this particular man's position, in other words. He was talking about who he was more than answering the specific question that he had, so that Joshua may realize his question that he asked itself. I'm questioning your question itself, in other words. Listen to me as to who I am. And then ponder over the question that you asked. Are you for us? Are you against us? I am. Instead, the answer was, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I am the commander of the Lord's army. And then we notice, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down. Or in other translations, it uses the word worshipped. And said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? There are different interpretations to this as well. Some say it is an angel of the Lord. And some say it is a theophany or Christophany, meaning Christ or God himself showing forth in this particular incident that has happened. The reason is, according to the other scriptural preferences, when somebody bows down in front of an angel, the angel says, no, don't worship me, worship only God. In this particular instance, there was nothing that was specifically mentioned not to worship him or to bow down. In other words, it could be most likely the fact that God himself or Christ in the Old Testament is called the Christophany, where his presence was seen there. And so this man, Joshua, changed his question now. Are you for us? Are you against us? Changed to the question, verse 14, what has my Lord to say to his servant? What do you want me to do? I want to hear what you are saying. The Bible talks about certain incidents, whether it's in the book of Exodus with Moses or Elijah or Elisha. It is about it's not whether the Lord is on your side, but it is about whether you are on the Lord's side. You see the difference? It's not asking, is the Lord on my side? It is about whether I am on the Lord's side. So his question, are you on our side or on our opposite side? It is not about that. Lord is on my side. No, it is about who is on the Lord's side. Moses asked this question, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Joshua had to be reminded that he has to be on the Lord's side. It is not about Lord being on your side, but it is about you being on the Lord's side. Very important. Very important spiritual lessons that you and I need to learn. It's not about having God put into our bottle and say, Lord, I want you to be able to support me in this regard. No. Lord, what do you say to me? How can I be on your side in such a manner that I obey your commandment? You are the commander. Joshua thought he is the commander of the Lord's army. He was a soldier by profession as well. But he had to be reminded that there is a commander of the Lord's army who gives the instructions. He is the commander-in-chief. And I need to take instructions from the commander-in-chief. Even though I am the one who is leading these people into the promised land, I cannot do anything out of my own. What has my Lord said to his servant? That should be the point. The Lord spoke to me very clearly in this regard. It is not about me. It is not about having God on my side. It is about me being on the Lord's side, asking his guidance and his commandments so that I may follow his commandments. You see that? Just a few verses that are there just above this verse. There are so many spiritual lessons that we can learn. Never try to do things out of your own. Joshua had to be reminded, he had to be reminded of the fact that the presence of the Lord matters. And the commandment of the Lord matters. Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army or the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. There are many times this point of contention comes. Oh, why are you not taking your shoes off? Why are you keeping your shoes on, etc.? There are two incidents in the scriptures. At the burning bush, the Lord spoke to Moses And he said, take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy. To be able to recognize the presence of the Holy God, it is a form of submission. To say I'm nothing, including wearing anything, especially on my sandals, to be able to recognize that I am in the presence of the holy living God. And this was a commandment that was given to Joshua. For him to be a leader, he has to submit to the authority of the commander of the Lord's army. And he obeyed. Notice this. He obeyed. He obeyed to the fact that God's presence, and this is a commandment from the Lord himself, be it Moses or be it Joshua. The two leaders, one after the other, they were commanded by God himself and they obeyed the commandment. Joshua did so. I really love that. Joshua did so. God spoke to Joshua and Joshua had to speak to the people. That is how it is. It is not about Joshua making his own words and trying to say something. What has my Lord to say to his servant? What does the Lord has to say to his servant? That should be our prayer daily, my dear. That should be your prayer. That should be my prayer. What do you want to talk to me about? What do you want to talk to me about? And the first thing that he talked about is the holiness of God. To be able to be sanctified in the presence of the Lord. And the way in which he was told to be able to show forth that sanctification was through this outward expression of removing his sandals from his feet, for the place where he was standing is holy. And then chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about the situation of Jericho. And verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, did this happen at the same time, at a different time? It could be or could not be. But let's go to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and the valiant warriors. Please read in any other language. Verse 2.
అప్పుడు యెహోవా యెహోషువాతో ఇట్లనెను చూడుము
చూడుము విల్ స్టాప్ దేర్ జస్ట్ చూడుము సీ వాట్ షుడ్ హి సీ గో అహెడ్ బ్రదర్
నేను ఎరికోను దాని రాజును పరాక్రమము గల శూరులను నీ చేతికి అప్పగించుచున్నాను
యాక్చువల్లీ ది వే ఇట్ ఇస్ ట్రాన్స్లేటెడ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంగ్లీష్ లాంగ్వేజెస్ ఇస్ ఐ హావ్ గివెన్ Jericho into your hand. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. Let's note it down. The first thing that we can learn about is promise given. It is given. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors.
And the thing that you and I need to learn in this particular aspect is, if God has given, what is he seeing? Is there anything that he is seeing here? See, chudumu, Lord, I'm seeing only the walls around me. And you're saying that you have given Jericho to me and our people? How is it possible that you are saying some promise that when I see only walls around me? The big, big walls. And it is tightly shut. And you are saying, I have given Jericho into your hand. We have a God who promises. He's a promise-giving God. When he has given his promise, this is what you and I need to be able to recognize. He said, see. See. How can he see something that is not yet done? That is the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith is seeing something that is unseen. It's a vision, in other words. See, behold, in other words. Some of the translations, some places they use the word behold. Behold means see. Oh, I can't see, you might say. But you have a vision. God is giving you that vision. See, I have given you this land of Jericho. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. The same chapter, Hebrews 11:1, says the definition of faith, talking about the different people that is mentioned in the Old Testament. And in this particular verse 30, it doesn't talk about one person. It talks about bunch of people. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So the thing that you and I need to be able to recognize here, please note it down, is promise is given, but there are challenges ahead. Promise given, but challenges ahead. Just because God has given the promise doesn't necessarily mean that they see the result immediately. Be it Joseph who had the dream, be it David who was anointed the king. In all the situations that we see, that the promise was given, but there are challenges ahead. The promises are associated with some challenges ahead. And that is what we see here. You can note down, is about faith. When God gives his promise, he is expecting us to have the faith in him by faith. He is the author of faith, no doubt about it. But the faith that needs to be exercised in us by faith, the faith is essential in this regard. And then we notice here that God says to Joshua, you shall march around the city, all men of war, circling the city once. You shall do it for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And we have read the verse 5 all together. God gave clear instructions. He said, I have given you this city, but there are certain instructions that you need to follow. Clear-cut instructions. Why, Lord? Can't you just give us the land? You gave the promise. Just help us to just enter into the promised land. What a big deal. God is testing our faith as well, my dear. He is a God who is a promise-giving God and a faith-testing God as well. Remember that. Very important. Important principles. Don't take this lightly, my dear. It's very important that we need to put this in such a manner that God's word would enable us to really move on. We need to be on the Lord's side. That is a faith that God wants us to be able to be established in. The faith with which we need to be on the Lord's side. Abraham Lincoln, his famous words, he mentions this. He says, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. It's not about whether God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side. For God is always right. And when God is always right, when God gives his promise, we need to be able to take that promise by faith, even if we don't see it immediately. When God is saying, see, to have that vision of the fact that you have that result in front of you, you may not see it with your physical eyes. And that is where we notice, verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of God. And then he gives the instructions. Now he knows what has my Lord said to his servant. To be able to be willing to hear from the Lord rather than him making his own plans of action to capture the city of Jericho. He had to listen to God first before telling the people. There are different sets of people he had to talk about. He had to talk to priests. He had to talk to people. And different instructions that were given. But he was instructed by God. A big lesson for me and for each one of us. That should be our prayer. What has my Lord has to say to his servant? He could have said, I am the soldier. I am the commander of the people of Israel. But he humbled himself. He came to the point of removing everything, including his sandals, to the extent of bowing down and say, what has the Lord said to his servant? And here we also notice that while it was going on, that he was talking to the people. He was talking and giving instructions to the people. I don't know out of these people how many had really taken their words immediately. Or logically speaking, what does it mean? What does it mean to circle around the city 6 times and on the 7th day, we need to circle around 7 times? What does this, we have all the necessary weapons of warfare and all, can't we do it? But they had to have faith in the God who gave the promise as well as the instructions. So note it down. Having the faith to the extent of making the statement that God will make a way. Note it down. Having the faith that God will make a way. Jericho was shut so that no one can come in or go out. Such is the kind of the way in which it is entirely shut. It is a shutdown. You know, in some schools they have the shutdown, right? What does shutdown mean? Nobody can go out, nobody can come in. There is some issue that is going on, some situation. It's totally shut. That is how Jericho was at that time, that nobody can come out. Anything that you want to do, stay in the city. No going out on vacation or anything. Stay in the city. Because Israelites are coming. So they were trying to be very cautious. For the people of Israel also, there was no way in. There was no way in to inherit the promise. Let me share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. When God gives a promise, by faith, we need to believe that God will make a way. There's a song I shared with you also, how God spoke to me through that song while I was in the flight, coming for the first time to the United States, in the flight in the year 1998, that God reminded me of this song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. By the roadway in the wilderness he leads me. Rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fail, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way. God did make a way in his way in order to be able to fulfill his will in my life. I was going towards New Jersey to join a college there, but God made a way for me to be able to be directed to Maryland. And I've been in Maryland, never moved out of Maryland since 1998. God had his purpose of keeping me in this area to be able to fulfill his purposes in my life. And I'll never forget that song, that he did make a way and he does make a way by faith. I was all alone, not knowing anything, but these songs reminded me of the fact that I need to have the faith in my God who will make a way. And now we notice in verse 10, Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout nor let your voice be heard nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you shout, then you shall shout. Verse 11, so he had the ark of the Lord taking around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. The second thing that you and I need to be able to recognize here, my dear brother and sister, is not only getting a promise from God, not only having the faith, but to exercise your faith. To exercise your faith. And that requires obedience. Please note it down. You need to obey. When God gives a promise, he is giving some instructions in order to be able to claim that promise. There are certain instructions that are given. Knowing well that I have a God who will make a way where there seems to be no way, I will obey his word. No. If when we shout, the walls will fall down, why don't we shout right now? No. 6 days you need to circle around with your mouth shut. Silently move around 6 times. On the 7th day, you move around 6 times again silently. On the 7th time, on the 7th day, you have to shout. We might say, I can't wait. I need now. If I shout now, why can't it be done? If it is a matter of technology, if it is a matter of resonance, if it is a matter of anything that talks about the science that we talk about, they could have done it right then, and they could have seen the walls fallen down. But God is expecting obedience. I'll do my part. This is a commitment to God by faith, saying God will make a way, but I'll do my part. What is your part? Obedience. What is your responsibility? To obey his word. So my dear brother and sister, more than looking at the promise and not doing anything is not what God is expecting. When God gives a promise by faith, we believe that God will fulfill his promise. But by faith, I want to obey his word as well. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 8. Please read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. I loved that small statement. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It is not about just faith. When you have faith, you need to obey. Read it in any other language, please. Verse 8.
Abrahamu pilavabadi nappudu viswasamunu batti aa pilupuku lobadi.
Lobadi. Tanu. He obeyed. Enough. Thank you, uncle. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It's very important for us not to just say that I'm a believer in Christ. Oh, I'm a believer in Christ. Yes, good. I'm glad to hear that. Are you obeying the word of God? The father of faith, Abraham, was a man of faith that he obeyed. He obeyed by faith, not knowing where he was going. That is faith, my dear. When God says, do something, just do it by faith. But obey, implicit obedience. Obedience in such a manner that Abraham obeyed. And Joshua and the people were told to obey as well. Back to Joshua chapter 6. They were to circle around the city, around the wall, once a day. Once a day. And how did it happen? Verse 12. Please read Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. Joshua arose early in the morning. Joshua was a man, he was a morning bird, early bird in other words. He arose early in the morning, and it is a struggle for each of us to wake up early in the morning. You might say, I'll stay as long as possible in the nights, but early in the morning, for us to obey God's word, by faith, Joshua rose early in the morning. We need to be able to wait upon the Lord daily, every day, Lord. We went around the place. What happened? Anything happened? Any crack on the wall? Nothing. What do I do? Should I really do the next day? Maybe they were praying all along. Whatever they were doing, the circle of prayers. Circle of prayers they may be doing. God, I'm making this circle. Lord, answer our prayer. Answer our prayer. They may be saying, but they had to be shut. They had to shut their mouths. Don't open your mouth. That's what he said in verse 10. You should not shout or let your voice be heard, not let a word proceed of your mouth until the day I tell you. Be quiet. Silent walk. Silent walk of prayer. Lord, deliver us from this obstacle or challenge that is ahead of us. Together go around. You see the power of doing it together? They must have been praying as well, unknowing what to do, but silently in the heart of hearts they must be, because they were told not to open their mouth. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, the thing that you and I need to learn here is not only faith, not only obedience, but you and I need to have patience. Oh, God has promised. God has promised. Oh, I believe the promise of God. I'll obey the commandment of God. But for how long, Lord? I will obey, but for how long? One day, I went around. It was so difficult in the morning walk. You know, like in the early morning, people go on a walk. Why don't you do it by prayer? Take the time, opportunity to go around. Maybe I should also, I'm also part of it. I used to do that when there was a walking challenge in my workplace, 10,000 steps. And the first thing we used to do in the wake up in the morning after the kids go to school, now our kids, I mean, early in the morning, 6 o'clock, my son has to wake up. And after that, probably I should take that responsibility of going around a walk. Walk of prayer. Walk of prayer. Trusting in the Lord silently. Lord, I pray for this neighborhood that I'm going around. I pray for the people whom I know, those who are going through troubled situations. I pray. Walk and pray. Oh, you walk and talk to people. Cell phones, sometimes nowadays, Bluetooth devices to talk without holding hands. But why can't we talk to God while walking? Walk and talk. It's a good exercise. But talking to God matters here. But you need to have patience, my dear. You and I need to have patience. Very important. You can't do the seventh day work on the first day. On seventh day, we have to shout, right? So we'll start it on first day. No, you have to have patience. For 6 days, you have to wait. On the seventh day, not the first round. The seventh round on the seventh day. So total how many rounds? Mathematics. 13. 6 days. On the seventh day, 6 times. And then the seventh time, on the seventh day, that you and I need to be able to recognize. You must obey. Somebody mentioned this. You must obey in the first lap to be able to obey in the last lap. You know what a lap is? Circling around. First round, second round. You must obey the first round in order to be able to obey the last round. You just can't say, I'll obey the last round. How can it be possible? How can you obey the last round without obeying the first round? You may not see any result. The first day you went around, no result. Second day you went around, no result. You must obey with patience. That means Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Please read. All together, shall we read this together? That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I need to have patience, long suffering. I wish there was a way in which we could have written in English L-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o-o- other words, you and I need to have patience. And the Bible says, you do not become sluggish. Or day one, I'm done. Second day, I can't get up. I don't see any results. I'm not going down. You know, some people who do the exercise, you can't expect the result on day one. You have to do it constantly, constantly. Do it, do it, do it. By faith and patience, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about the spiritual walk that you and I need to have. Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Not just faith alone. Faith, obedience, because you know you have to be able to imitate those who through faith. That means how did they do it? They obeyed. Abraham obeyed. And you and I need to have the faith. We need to obey and have patience and then inherit the promises. In other words, if you want to note it down, under patience, saying, I won't quit. I won't quit. I won't give up. God will make a way. I'll do my part and I won't quit. It is a commitment that I'm saying, Lord, till I see the promise being fulfilled, I won't quit. And that is what noted down the last one, promise fulfilled. For us To be able to see the promise that is given to be fulfilled in our lives, God is expecting us to have faith. God is expecting us to have obedience. God is expecting us to have patience. No matter what is going on in our lives, doesn't matter. Be it financial issue, be it marital problems, be it backsliding, whatever are the situations or the obstacles or the challenges that are ahead of us, by faith, obey His word. And have patience, my dear. One day at a time. One day at a time. There's a song. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day. One day at a time. One day at a time, God is saying. One day at a time. One a day. You know, one a day. I don't know how many of us take. One a day. Once a day. He said, go around. Circle around once a day. For 6 days. The prescription is given by God. You take this tablet. Once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, take 6 tablets and after that, open your mouth. Open your mouth and shout aloud. Open your mouth and shout aloud. And then we notice here, verse 15, then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day. They rose early at the dawning of the day. Verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning. Seeing Joshua and the pattern in which he was living out, we see on verse 15, they rose early in the morning, early in the morning, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 worshiping the Lord in the morning, spending time with the Lord in the morning, spiritual walk, spiritual time of with God, reading His word, listening to His word. What has the Lord said to His servant? Lord, speak to me, Lord, before the entire world and the phone calls and WhatsApp messages and everything come. Before I get into the world, I want to spend time with you early in the morning. Get up, get ready to have a spiritual walk. And here we notice in verse 16, at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The shout of victory. Lord, all this while I was keeping quiet because you told me to be silent. I need to be a silent walker. Now I'm going to be a shout walk. Silent walk to shout walk is happening. And that is where we notice here in verse 20. Shall we all read this together, please? Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20 all together, please. So the people shouted and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. And verse 21, they utterly destroyed everything that was devoted to destruction. They destroyed everything because that was a commandment of God. Don't take the things. You need to destroy everything. And they destroyed. And they saved the family of Rahab. My dear brothers and sisters, the promise fulfilled. You can note down the bullet under that. Obstacles removed. The challenges ahead. The wall came tumbling down. The wall came tumbling down. The song, maybe it's a children's song, but I want to read it out aloud. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon. You may talk about the men of Saul. But there's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho that morning. Up to the walls of Jericho, they marched with spears in hand. Come, blow them, ram horns. Joshua said, because the battle is the Lord's. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns began to blow. The trumpets began to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout. And the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. The fall of a wall is an indication of victory. Victory. The fall. It was needed. The fall of the wall was needed in order to be able to enter and capture the land or the city of Jericho. Until and unless they capture that city of Jericho, they cannot move on. It was like a fortified city protecting the entire promised land, and they had to be able to obey God's word patiently and fulfill and seeing the God fulfilling the promise in their lives. In conclusion, let's read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 altogether, please, as it's projected here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 altogether, please. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. By faith, in obedience, with patience, believing that God will make a way where there seems to be no way, to do our part and to not give up till we see the fulfillment of the Lord's promise in our lives is a wondrous thing and many lessons that we can learn. And based on today's sermon, if there is any one of us sitting here who do not recognize the meaning of the word Joshua means Jehovah saves. Yehoshua means Jehovah saves. Joshua. The same name is in Greek, it's called Yesus, or in other words, Jesus. Joshua is a foreshadow of who Jesus is, that he's the one who is a commander for us in order to be able to enable us to enter into the promised land. And he's the one who is the one who is giving us instructions to the extent of he taking the first step forward. He came down into this world and he gave his life for us so that you and I may have the gift of eternal life. He died for us to save us from our sins so that the wall may be broken down. The veil might be torn down so that we may have access into the promised land or to the heavenly places as well. And we really thank the Lord for this privilege for us to learn from this Old Testament stories some spiritual lessons that you and I can apply in our lives. May the Lord bless this word and enable us not only to be the hearers of the word, not just to say I have faith, but some lessons to learn for us to say God will make a way. We are writing it, not just believing it, but also writing it down, saying, God will make a way. I'll do my part. I won't quit. I won't give up. Isn't it wonderful, my dear? Maybe there are many challenges that we are going through in our lives right now. But God's word is a word of encouragement. It's a word of exhortation. It's a word of correction. In order to be able to be able to see God's promises being fulfilled in our lives. May the Lord bless this word.